Have you made an honest review? Jump onto fifthwrist.com and read real takes by real owners about their watches. And of course, get involved and write about what's on your wrist. Fifthwrist.com is your independent space to talk watches.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Defining Time show on Fifth Wrist Radio, and thanks for tuning in. So Fifth Wrist was set up by enthusiasts to serve the community by giving community members the opportunity to review their own watches. And this way you can be honest about what it's like to live with a watch and tell people about your pros and cons, etc. So if you haven't already, check out the website at fifthwrist.com and review one of your watches to help another community member make the right decision. So my name's Anthony. I'm not joined by any co-host today, but I am joined by a special guest. So with me today is Hanu, the owner of Aventi Watches. How are you going?
Good, mate. How are you going?
Fantastic, fantastic. Great to have you on the show and really looking forward to today's discussion, if I can get my words out.
You're too excited, mate.
I know. I must be just really pumped up. Maybe it's because we're going to have a real first on the show today, and it's really nerdy, but I'm going to enjoy it. So so today we're gonna talk about Aventi watches and you know, what is the vision, how are they made, and you know, maybe some things to look forward to, etc. But before we do that, we'll do some wrist checks and some drink checks, and for the first time ever, we will do a pen check. So how nerdy that is, nerdy as fuck, but doesn't matter. Let's do it. So we'll go with yourself, Hanu, first. So what's on your wrist today?
Oh, of course, it's an Aventi. One of the new ones that we're bringing out, the burnt titanium. And we'll probably discuss that in the show today. But that's the Tourbillon Aventi burnt titanium is on my wrist. Nice. And what's
We'll give a pass on drinks because it's still morning here in Australia. Yeah. I'm drinking a coffee. I'm sure you've got a coffee, so you leave it at that.
Yeah, coffee.
All right, cool. And pen check. What are you writing with today?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is an interesting thing. I think pens and watches go hand in hand. Well,
definitely. But
figuratively. And what I love is fountain pens, and we were having a quick chat before this interview, just how cool fountain pens are. And I've got a couple here. I've got a Rudyard Kipling edition Mont Blanc, which is nice. Super cool. So it's the Jungle Book version. And I've got really interesting pen that I recently picked up was the Pilot Custom 823, which is kind of like, I don't know, in the watch world, it would be like a Grand Seiko, but with like perpetual calendar, chronograph, and everything. It's got everything that you'd need in a pen. It's a Namiki nib. That because Pilot bought out Namiki, but yeah, we can nerd out on pens later on.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I've got that and some really really cool ink. So
I'll have to put a link to that in the show notes because firstly, I would love to see it, but it'd be great for our audience.
It's super underrated, super high value for what you pay, and it's basically that's how I'd put it, is like the Grand Seiko of pens. Really, it's vacuum awesome. Filled, good ink capacity, but yeah.
Very good. Very good. Well, today's a very exciting day for me. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to go to the airport to pick up my brand new watch, something I have been lusting on for a very long time. In fact, my wife, back in May for my birthday, had the watch face printed on my birthday cake. So you can see this has been in the works for quite some time. And that is my brand new H. Moser & C. Blue Fumé Pioneer Center Seconds. It's a amazing watch. It wears so well, and I was lucky to get a blue one. As we know, they've been discontinued now.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Went on the hunt for quite some time, found the right one, and it's finally turned up. So really, really, really excited to be wearing this.
I really want to see it because I'm currently on holiday in Australia. We met up recently, and you had a look at the Aventi watches.
I did.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited to see the Moser. I love that.
Cool.
Love
the brand. Well, we'll have to catch up again before you leave.
Yep.
And in my hand is, we were actually discussing this a little bit before, but Ian Schoen, so a friend of the show, I had the great fortune of having a chat to him quite some time ago now when we sort of first launched the podcast, and just an absolute top guy that makes real quality products. And so this one here is the Fountain 6, the Pocket 6 pen, sorry. So it when you screw the cap on, as in it's in its away position, you know, it comes down to nothing. You can put it in your pocket, you forget it's there. It's made out of aluminium, so it's really, really light. And it writes beautifully. It's picking up some awesome patina. And this was one of the 10 editions that we did with Fifth Wrist Radio and the Australian map engraved on it that he did for us, which is awesome. So if you haven't already, go back and have a listen to that conversation I had with Ian, and check out his work, because he does some amazing stuff. Righto, that's about as nerdy as we've ever got on Fifth Wrist Radio, and I'm so excited because that's really cool. All right, well, let's. We went and had a coffee the other day, and you know, one of the things I've been dying to do after seeing these Aventi watches on Instagram is, you know, is get my hands on one. And I think, you know, there's a number of things that I'm sure we'll come to later in the show, but the you know, one thing that stood out for me was the way that it wore on my wrist. And it is a big watch, but let's get into it and talk about, you know, where did the idea come from, and sort of what's the motivation behind Aventi?
So I own a couple of other businesses, and I had a couple of watch brands. I got another more mainstream watch brand, which is also a big piece called S-Force Watches. And before that, I actually started the company called Dapper Time. And this is way back. This is drop shipping days. And I kind of grew that out and learned everything. This is like 7 years ago. So I've been in the production game for a long time. So starting with like really cheap pieces and moving up to what I would consider as like worthy of wearing, because with a few businesses, I had some, you know, I did okay, and I invested in some really, really nice watches. And it kind of got to the point where, you know, I didn't really wear the S-Force watches or the other brands, because I thought, well, you know, I'm wearing all these other crazy pieces, and I really enjoy the high-end pieces. So I was actually in a holiday, I think it was in Bali somewhere, and it kind of hit me. I was like, I really want to make a sapphire watch, and I really like the shape of Lamborghinis. I like how aggressive they are. I like how they, you know, their road presence, the angle, yeah. There's no curves on a Lamborghini, basically. If you know, as on the presence as it drives past you and you hear it roar, it's obnoxious, it's loud, it's ridiculous. And I thought, well, the only brand that really is something like that I can see is really, it's only Richard Mille. And other than that, there's not really other choices. I mean, Seven Friday had that coolness about it when it first came out. So, I mean, I've been influenced by a lot of different sources, but I had a look at the Lamborghini engine bay of the Aventador, and I thought, this shape, this style, it's everywhere. Like, people know this shape and style. So I thought, well, can I be inspired by that and put it into a design and make it fit right on the wrist, make it look good? Because if you look at Aventi, it's just such a weird shape. Like, if you really just analyze and compare it to, I don't know, a Patek Rolex, it's just so far out that it's just like, you wouldn't normally think to make it like that. But because I based it off the impression of, you know, that supercar, it kind of works, and it does work, because I actually lent it to a friend here, because our production pieces are going out right now as we speak, and I had, you know, I've got a few prototypes, and I lent it to a mate here, and he told me the other day, he's like, the more I wear it, the more I love it, because when he first saw it, he was like, yeah, I don't know, I'm kind of more into the more round shapes, the traditional. you know, Patek Rolex style. And then he wore it and he's like, this is insane, because the more you wear it, the more details you notice, the more inch, like the cooler it is, the cooler it becomes, because there is no way that you will not notice this watch, you know, as a person, yeah. You know, looking at what you're wearing, you will always be noticed. You will always be questioned about it. But anyway, back to your question. The design, the initial concept was to create something like that. That was kind of the inspiration, but make it sapphire, you know? And because I always wanted a sapphire watch, I was like, there's no way I'm spending like 80 grand, 100 grand, or like a million on an RM, right? Or more for their sapphire versions.
Yeah.
And then I started looking at manufacturing and all of that. And what I realized, and this is crazy, and I can't say anything officially, because I, you know, officially in a sense that these all alleged, I've been told these things, like legal, blah, blah, blah. I essentially stumbled upon the factories that make the Swiss company in China. And it is a fact that there are many companies that are Swiss companies that get, you know, parts and pieces made in China, you know, part of the process maybe started, or the materials. It's just normal. That's just how it is, you know. And I was super lucky to find the sapphire sapphire providers, because there are a few now, but the level that we needed for this case shape was just, you need insane craftsmanship for this, because there's like I can't remember the numbers. I think 160 edges and facets. Wow. Or something. I gotta remember it, but I should actually know this, but usually Ryan's doing all the talking and I'm too busy to looking at the next stuff that we're developing. But yeah, it's essentially, it's super, super complex. Very, very difficult to make. So it's not like you go to a supplier and say, hey, we need a round shape, or, you know, a tonneau shape, and just cut it into the sapphire. You know, it's incredibly complex. So that was one of the biggest challenges in that conceptualization of the business. So getting the product right. But then just continuing on that, on your question, the reason why I mention where it's made and how I did it was because the whole point of Aventi, the word Aventi, you can Google translate search Aventi, that essentially it means having, right? And that was what I always wanted. I wanted to have the feeling of being able to have something I could never have before, right? And really experience. So that's where the name comes from, Aventi. And so all of our initial launch, we launched on Indiegogo, and all of our, you know, all our marketing, all of our communication was about this idea that you can have something that you normally would never be able to have before. And so that's why, I know it's a long-winded response to your question, your simple question, but it I think it's essential to understand the design, the brand name, the philosophy, the soul of our brand is all about this, all about value, right? And because we could have easily have gone and taken this concept to Switzerland, which I did. I tried. I flew over to Switzerland, Le Chaux de Fonds, and I met with multiple manufacturers there. And, you know, I wanted to create Tourbillon Movement. The minimum investment, $1 million for your own Tourbillon Movement, right?
Yeah.
Case to cut. Yeah. The material alone, without even processing, was almost the cost of our retail price of our pure sapphire version. It was ridiculous, yeah. Right? And so I thought, well I'm not going to be any different to all these other brands which are out there. So that in turn created the foundation of our, you know, our philosophy and our core values is just to be all about the customer, and not yeah. In a sense of like the Daniel Wellington MVMT model, or all these micro brands popping up left, right, and center, where we cut the middleman out. That's not what we're trying to do. We don't even communicate about that story, that side of things, but because everyone knows that, and that's the reason why we aren't going retail. We don't have any. We've got a lot of people asking us, like almost every day we get inquiries about stocking us in retail shops all around the world. we can't, you know, we have no margin. So it doesn't make sense. And it's also better because now for a resale perspective, you know, you don't have all these, you know, you don't have hundreds of retailers stocking your watch and then cutting deals behind your back, giving discounts. We control everything start to finish.
But also you keep it affordable. As soon as you start going into retail shops, and look, maybe one day, who knows? You never know what's going to happen around the corner. But you're going to have to add 20, 30, 40, 50% to the price. And all of a sudden that have mentality of a venti sort of becomes a smaller market to market to, because not everyone's got, you know, $20,000-$30,000 to spend on a watch. So, but just before we continue, there's a couple of really good photos on your Instagram with the Lamborghinis and the picture of the watch in front of the Lamborghinis, and you can really start to see the shape. So for the listeners, go and have a look at some of those pictures so you can sort of understand the concept behind the shape. But also, I mean, well done, because you look at watches these days and you think everything's been done. And then to come out with a really sort of new shape inspired by another industry, I think is really cool, because it's so hard to do. And with that comes so many different things. Not everyone's going to like it. Some people will. Some people will be critical of it, and et cetera, and it's not purist round and stuff like that. But, you know, that's the nature of the beast, I suppose, and you've got to be prepared to deal with that stuff. So yeah, really, really cool. When you're talking about the sapphire cases, how is it made? Like what do they do to be able to cut the facets and get it to the shape that you need it?
Well, a lot of the cost in the material is purely the time. You're essentially creating the material, and it takes weeks and weeks to just to create the blocks of sapphire, and the blocks big enough to use. That's one problem that there is with sapphire cases. It's like over 2 weeks to cool the material without it bubbling or cracking, right? So that's a massive, massive issue with this, because, I mean, you look at lab gems and synthetic gems or whatever, that whole industry has been growing over many years, many decades, in fact. But you look at the size. The carat weight is over 300 carats in an Aventi Sapphire watch, 300 carats. Whereas the average carat weight of a gem that's being made is like, what, 1, 2 max, right? So we're talking massive blocks of sapphire that all have to be checked to make sure there's no bubbles, there's no inconsistencies in it. Because, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, this is lab-made sapphire, but it's exactly the same as, you know, from other watch companies like Hublot or Richard Mille, in a sense of the material, you know, sapphire. And the way that it's made is the same. So there's no difference there. The machining of it, so essentially most of it's manually done by hand and machine. So you have to actually process it, and that processing time takes a really, really long time. So that's why, you know, if a lot of, I mean, Swiss companies, what they would do generally is source the material offshore. Like I met a supplier in Russia who was providing for Swiss, for a third party Swiss case manufacturer, who then sell it off to the brands. So there are a lot of steps in the manufacturing process generally. Mm. And this is a crazy thing. I even would bet, this is my guess, that there's some Swiss brands that don't even know that they're coming from the Far East, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of washed through a Swiss company. And this is generally like, that, I don't know, I heard someone even told me this other day, that someone was buying honey from China into Australia, processing it, refining it, and then shipping it back to China as an Australian product.
Mm.
And so, I mean, you can start to think, okay, well, if they've done it in this food and even supplements, I heard, you know, go from China to New Zealand. Yeah, it's back to into Australia. So, and it would be passed off as Australian, you know, supplements. And yeah, this is kind of, we're in a, it's this globalization. We're all kind of connected anyway. So this whole purist argument, oh, it's Chinese or it's Hong Kong or whatever, it's almost funny for me when I'm, you know, at the keyboard, you know, defending against all these keyboard warriors on the YouTube comments, right? So, it drives me nuts. And I'm really passionate about the brand and what I'm doing, because this is me. I'm doing this every day. I'm like, you know, along with other things, but this is like, you know, so important to me that I do it right. And so it just bugs me that these guys are so uneducated. And then you eventually it goes, well, where's that phone that's probably 100 times more complex than a watch to make? Where's that from that you're typing on right now? You know, and it just, you know, where are the satellites made? You know, you know what I mean? Like, tell me a Swiss watchmaker who can make a satellite.
And this is on a far different scale, but I had a bamboo sock company, and we went over to China with that. And, you know, we checked the manufacturer, went to the factory, had a look, and the care and deliberation that they take in their quality control, and they want to be proud of the products that they're sending offshore, and they don't want issues. So yep. Generally speaking, like they do take a lot of care in what they're doing. So, you know, yep. It's this whole mindset it is shifting, though. I think people are starting to to understand.
Like Ming are doing so well in the watch industry. Like fantastic. And look, my gripe isn't with Switzerland or with, you know, the facade up against manufacturing with, you know, within China. All I'm trying to create with Aventi is how do we create something that's insane, where people go, yeah, holy crap, that's insane. I mean, I was mentioning to you a few things when we caught up, and a few of the future plans that I had, and I asked you to guess prices, and we talk about what we're actually, you know, what we're looking at. And I mean, you can probably speak for yourself, but I think you were pretty, you know, you were pretty impressed or pretty shocked.
Oh, definitely. I think there's some really exciting, but there's so much behind this. And one of the things that I really think is inspirational is the fact that you're doing it. You know, and this is one of the things with coming into industries and starting businesses and things like that, is people, keyboard warriors, are more than happy to sit there and criticize, yet they're sitting there and criticizing and not doing anything about it. So it's easy to just point and say what you want to say, but go behind it, have a look at how much work goes into it and what it's like to stand by your product and be proud of it. But no, look, I'm really excited to see what 2021 holds for Aventi, because I know there's some really exciting things to come. Hopefully we can get a little insight into some of that.
Yeah,
a bit later.
I'm super pumped to share.
Well, let's talk about, let's stay in this area, and we'll go to the movements. And you know, there's some really good statistics and specifications on your website. But let's have a chat about the Tourbillon that you're using. You know, where's it from? What's it about? Let's talk about that.
Okay, so do you know? I mean, it's a Hong Kong-based company, PTS Resources. They work with Hangzhou Watch Company in China, and essentially, what we've done is we looked at a lot of options. I looked at Peacock. I looked at some really new Tourbillon movements in Hong Kong and China. The reason why I settled with PTS Resources to help us with our movement is mainly because I could meet with them. I could see the samples in my hand. I could test their work, and they share the passion like us. So they see the vision, they see the future, and they're open to developing and improving their movements with us. I in fact made sure, I said, listen, if we have any, if this underperforms, we need to be able to return it to you at no cost and swap it out for something that is perfect, right? If that's the case. So they said, yeah, no problem. I said, if there are finishing issues, we need to be able to treat those and fix those. Yeah, no problem. And so the thing is, working with them, it was exciting because they were so open to helping us and working with us to create and improve the movement that we based off, right? So we do add extra layers of improvement to it. So I have extra QC in. So what we do is we get the pieces from the factory. We check them over. We check them over really carefully for the finishing. That's the first thing. We then check the performance of the movement, and then we regulate. We regulate all of them. So essentially we have a watchmaker, really, really, you know, top level watchmaker who's been in the industry for like, I don't know, ages. He's like, he's been there for over 20 years, and that's provided by our partners, our other partners in China. And they basically take the movement, make sure that it's optimally performing, and we run the tests again. And we make sure that the accuracy is good, that the reserve is good, that there's no finishing issues. As far as what I see is at a top level. So one thing that's interesting with finishing is you can have a look at Rashad Mill finishing under a microscope, and you will see that it is absolutely there is virtually, especially with that earlier models, there's like no finishing. And I thought about this the other day. I thought, well, look, we had a video go out on Watchfront. I'm sure, you know, all the everyone who's interested in researching Aventi will find that video without a doubt. It's Watchfinder. Everyone finds Watchfinder's videos, right? And you see the incredible, it's like microscopic macro of the movement. And yeah, there are some, maybe some inconsistencies with it. And the finishing is not a Patek, you know, it's not a Lungenzun. It's not meant to be, right? But it's very,
it's not 100 grand tight. Either. It's exactly. Not 100 grand so, either.
Yeah. So what I treat it like a $100,000 watch though. In my, yeah. That's my mission, is to get it up past, way past that level. And I'll talk about that in a second. But the fact is, and this is a funny thing, is Andrew from Watchfinder, he asks for watches constantly. Do you know what most companies say? No, we can't. Can't have it.
Yeah.
In Richmond, he works. They're owned by Richmond Group, I think. Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And
yep, they are.
He can't even get a lot of those watches. And then I started to think about it. I was like, why is that the case? Like, Watchfinder is such an incredible, you know, resource for, you know, storytelling. And
yeah,
everyone who's a watch lover, passionate about watches, collector, basically knows Watchfinder. And why wouldn't you want to promote? And I realized, I was like, that's, you know, they had a Rolex on there, the GMT Pepsi with a meteorite dial, had a splash of paint on it that Rolex didn't even pick up. So
yeah,
the reality of Watchfinder is that when you compare it to the history of watch reviewers and watch communities, we've never had the technology we have today to look inside a watch to that level. And why that's significant and why it's important to say is that you don't know how bad watch finishing of 100K plus watches has been, you know, and probably still to this day. And they're not getting on Watchfinder because of that reason. When Andrew contacted us, they reached out to us because a lot of people wanted us to go on there. They're like, okay, you know, you'll show us the truth about Aventi kind of thing. Yeah. And we're like, yeah, sweet, let's do it. Yeah. And I was prepared. I was like, we're going to do our best, but we're not at that 100K perfect finish, spending like 7 months to build a watch. Right. But we are at an incredible value proposition and insanely cool looking watch, because let's face it, at the end of the day, who has a microscope that they're going to look at their watch with? Like, that is a very small, and I guarantee you buy a Patek, you buy a AP or whatever, you will find faults with a microscope.
Definitely.
You will.
The amount of watches you see on Instagram and someone finds a speck on a dial, because that's just the way it goes. Like, it's impossible. Purity of the air is hard enough to get in watch manufacturers. But no, look, I think there's some, you know, when I was fortunate enough to be able to try one on, which I'd been dying to do for quite some time now. And, you know, one of the things that sort of took me by surprise really quickly was that feel in the hands. And you can look at some watches sometimes and you think to yourself, oh, I wonder how that's going to feel. And, you know, from the strap to the sapphire, and then, you know, you get to look at a tourbillon movement. And I just think, you know, as a watch nerd and someone that's really into it and an enthusiast, you know, I'm probably never going to buy a Swiss tourbillon from a major brand, because I just, I'm not going to spend that kind of money. And to be able to have one in my hands and be able to look at it and stare at it and wind it and see the spring barrels winding up and everything is just, and the cage and the forks and the teeth, and you know, it's just it's interesting to me, and that's why I really sort of I like this watch, because it does really speak to me from a horological level that I didn't think I'd get to. And you know, you look at the movement, I'm looking at the specs here on the internet. So, you know, 28,800 vibrations per hour, 25 joules, 72 hour power reserve. You know, it's all pretty awesome stuff to be able to have in a watch that just looks like absolutely nothing else you can find in the market. Ah, very, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. I mean, you can, you know, you speak for yourself here, but, with the Sapphire, you can't compare it to photos. The thing is, when you have a Sapphire in hand, especially a colored Sapphire, it's phenomenal. That it's just like, well, why do you think there's been obsession for precious stones in the history of mankind, basically, right? It is, there's something that's, I don't know, almost primal about it. And when you wear like a 300 carat Sapphire on your wrist with a tourbillon movement, I've got some like pretty cool watches, but when I wear that, that's when it's like it's on. Because I mean, the other day I lent it to my friend. So he was in a lawyer office setting, and he's a lawyer himself, and he was wearing the yellow Sapphire, which is like my personal one, and I was wearing, I had a 26331ST AP chronograph, white dial Panda. And that is like, for most watch people, that's like, that's a decent watch, right?
It's a serious watch.
Pretty
yeah.
cool. Yeah. And so I'm wearing this, he's wearing the yellow Sapphire, and this guy comes in, sees my watch. It's like, wow, okay. And then sees my mate's watch. That's the yellow Sapphire. And he's like, whoa, what is that? Like complete like obsession. Like, I need to see it. Show me. Take it off.
When you walk into the room and you see something like that, it's gonna, you know, and I notice myself, I'm one of those people that will, you know, someone walks in the room and I'll just look at their wrist and see if you can tell. And, you know, Rolex generally, you can tell what it is from about 10 meters away. You can see the shape of the bracelet, etc. But then you see something like this and you're just like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. And even the titanium versions have that same effect on people. I mean, you put on the burnt titanium, which is what we're about to launch. It's something that we haven't really announced yet, but I'm happy to chat about it anyway. But we're going to be announcing it really soon anyway. But basically, the burnt titanium and even the other titanium versions have that same effect, because what we've done is, the finishing of the case is that all of them are essentially world first, because they are our, so the Cerakote, what we do on the titanium, I didn't show you that one, but you can see them on the website and on the Instagram. But Cerakote is, we're working with Cerakote, the company, US based, and we're developing, we have developed our own colors for the watches. And so what it is a ceramic paint that you bake on. You have to heat it to make it to set, and then you have to coat it again with some extra protecting layers that we add as well, and it adds to the shine of the watch. And the reason why I did that is because I wanted it as close as possible to the colors of the supercars. And so the color names are inspired from the color names from supercars as well. And so we've done our best to match those colors. Because that's what I wanted. I wanted a Modena yellow. I wanted a Rosso red, Riviera blue, Nardo gray. And so with the Nardo gray, it's fantastic, because I looked at the Audi. We worked together with Cerakote, and we try to match it as close as we could, because we're inspired by them, right? And to get the gloss right as well was really, really difficult. And to finish it perfectly is another whole challenge in itself, right?
And for your watches, let's just, I'm not going to stay on price for long, because I've got a lot more I want to get through. But so on your website, it says starting from 2000 US, right? So for 2000 US, what what can you buy from you guys?
All of the titanium models.
Wow. Jesus. Yep. Okay, cool. All right, well, if you weren't interested before, you're probably interested now. So go and check it out, because that's just nuts, man. And well done for, you know, I think this is a really significant thing that you're doing for the enthusiast base as well. And yes, there'll be some people that will still turn their nose up because they're not happy with themselves, and that's fine. But for $2,000 US, I mean, it's just nuts. But all right, let's go deeper now. So if something goes wrong with your move, so what does the service look like, and what happens if something goes wrong?
Anything goes wrong, you contact your concierge and we will handle it for you.
Okay.
The thing is, the way that we are essentially offering customers to buy who become our clients essentially is a similar experience to what you'd get at Rolex. So basically, I think when I say this, I speak for a lot of people maybe listening, because I'm insanely obsessed with watches. I have been for years, and there is not one watch store that I walk past without going into a luxury watch store. It is as simple as that. And when I'm in Hong Kong with my missus, she hates it, because that place has so many watch stores on the one street, and we get nowhere because I'm just hopping in, hopping out, going next one, hop in, hop out, because I'm just obsessed with that experience of going in and just talking to people, right? Talking to people, what's hot, what, you know, what is this, how does this work, like learning about different brands. I love it, because that for me is part of the process, right? It's not a transaction where you go to H&M or Zara, you know, you look around, you pick up something, you walk to the register, you pay and you leave. It's never like that. And that was a challenging thing. Just keep in mind two things about Aventi. One, we're 6 months old. We're a baby. We're half a year old. Two, we launched in the most difficult economic time in the world of recent, like during the pandemic, we launched, right? So these two things forced me to go, well, we can't sell online like an online store. Why would we do that? Like, and I've been pressured by, you know, everyone part of the team saying, look, you need to like just open up the titanium to sell online. And so, you know, it's quicker to sell. You know, credit card payment, $2,000, that's nothing. People spend way more online with their credit cards on, you know, cameras, laptops and that. And then I thought, well, no. And the reason is because I want every watch, every customer that has an Aventi watch to have a one-to-one experience with someone, either me or someone from the team. And that's the whole philosophy of the concierge. So maybe some people are put off, oh, no, I have to sign up to some concierge or talk to someone and they're going to, you know, twist my arm. And, you know, and I'll tell you something that's crazy. As part of a sales strategy, a sales process, we have none. All of the guys that are taking calls, they're my mates. I've got in, like, one mate was working some other, you know, crappy job, and he's super passionate about watches. I was like, mate, you just talk about watches. You don't even have to talk about Aventi. Just talk, you know? And I'd say 99% of the time, people are like, and I take calls as well. And it's so funny because it gets to a stage where they're like, so what do I do to get one? Like, like it's ridiculous. It's the funniest thing ever. Cause I thought maybe, okay, we might have to get a salesperson to train us. I don't know. Cause I've never done this before. In the end, it's just like, you're just talking. And so sometimes maybe, you know, Mitch, Ryan or Jesse or Hamish, these are the guys on the calls, but maybe they're not. Maybe they're not even talking about Aventi. Well, it doesn't really matter, you know. And that's at the end of the day. What do you do when you walk into that Rolex boutique? Sometimes you're just having a chat. Got anything in, Michael? Nah, not this time. Oh, what you been up to? What did you get up to on the weekend? You know what I mean? It's just that whole, and that's real. That's what happens with me, and I think it happens with a lot of people. And I wanted to bring that concept online and create an experience. And so, which leads me to the next part of Aventi ownership and the whole process of being part of the family in Aventi is that you get the personal number of your concierge that helps you get an allocation of the watch. Because we don't keep stock at all, right? Because we allocate it out, and then that allocation is assigned, and then that customer receives it in that month. So we essentially are placing orders and creating watches each month. So we have a limited run each month. So naturally we're limited. We can't essentially sell more than what we've made, right? And so it's a very lean business model as well. So from a business perspective, it's brilliant because we're not sinking, you know, millions into stock, right? And the second thing is it is actually naturally becomes difficult to get. Because if you think about it, what drives the resale market is the availability, so the supply, and the demand. And so anyone who's essentially got an Aventi now or is receiving one, they have a lot of confidence in us because we are so new, so fresh, and the demand is just going up and up every day, you know? And so look, I don't want to digress too much from your question about the problems with the watches. Like, I'm here on this podcast, you know, speaking to you personally. I'm looking at comments on YouTube. And I have a number of other businesses that I run. I'm super passionate about Aventi, and the way that we do it, I've got like a bit of OCD. I'm very particular. Like, I mean, I'm sure you're the same. You know, pen collector, watch collector, car collector. Like, you have, it's a specific type of person that does those things as well, right?
Yeah.
So the way that I'm running Aventi is my main strength when it comes from a business perspective is not just, you know, some people look at me and go, well, he's a great marketer or he's great at talking or whatever. It's not even that. Like, I'm generally an introverted guy. You know, I play the cello. You know, I studied music, right? I'm not exactly a, you know, out there crazy, crazy guy, right? So my main strength is putting together systems and processes and analyzing, analyzing data, similar to what you do as well, right?
Yeah.
To make better decisions. And my goal is always lifestyle first, you know, and then everything else comes, right? So Aventi is part of my lifestyle in a sense that it is such an important thing to create, but I don't want it to be so disorganized and hectic that, you know, you look at Aventi and go, oh, he's doing everything, which is totally not the case. Which is funny because everything that I've said up to this point looks like I'm doing like all this stuff, I'm so crazy, but it's not. All I'm doing is I'm just looking at the problem, knowing what the goal is, and then creating a process to automate it, to make a better funnel, to make a better experience. And what I'm doing basically right now is looking at points of scalability. Because if you're investing in an Aventi timepiece, you want to know that it holds value and it goes up in value. That's my goal. So I know that creating a brand, it's not like, oh, I've got this passion project and I want to make this cool design and this is the accidental success story of Aventi. I want to create this and I want to build it so big that even Richemont or Swatch come along and say, hey, we want to buy you. And then we go, well, sorry. You can't afford us, mate. Not like that, but it's the fact that we get so attractive to these big brands that, you know, maybe they'll be inspired by us. And honestly, I've seen so many brands pop up recently that are copying there was one brand that copied exactly word for word my copy that I spent hours on honing in and perfecting on the concierge concept, and they just copied it. This word for word, and I thought, what are you doing? Like there's flattery, and then there's
forgery.
There's something that's illegal. Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about the concierge for a sec, because
I mean, look, I think it's wonderful to hear how passionate you are about this, and I suppose it's what will give people confidence that, you know, you're in the hands of the right person and you're going to be looked after. So with the concierge service, I think from online, you go, you book an appointment, you then have an appointment with one of your team to just discuss watches, maybe discuss a venti, talk about, you know, maybe getting an allocation, etc. And then so if something goes wrong with the movement, then they get back in touch with their personal concierge who they've got the phone number, and off you go trying to solve the problem. And so if you smash the sapphire...
Warranty on anything that's like manufacturing defect, we'll fix it up, no problem. If you smash the sapphire, we might have some problems only because it's difficult. So you have to put your feet in my shoes and go, well, you know, do I have to? Yeah, how would you approach that? You know, is it, if it's our fault, you know what I mean? I will 100% stand by it and fix any problem, you know. When it comes to the fault of the, you know, the our mates or our family, I'll look after you. Like, we'll find a way.
It's a bit like if you bought a Lamborghini Aventador and then smashed it because you were driving like an idiot, would you go back to Lamborghini and say, "Hey, I want another one, please"?
I broke this one.
I guess, but I mean, that's in some ways within reason, man.
I'm a reasonable guy. Like, if you're like, if I don't know, like, I can't think of any examples because one, I haven't smashed. No one smashed one. It is sapphire. It's very high scratch resistance. It's like a 9 on a Mohs scale. So it will last like 100 years from now, as permitted you don't drive over it or drop it from a building, it's going to look like it's brand new, you know? And that's the beauty of it. The sapphires, Cerakote also is going to be really interesting to see how it wears over time. It's not scratch, you know, completely scratch proof, but it's very high scratch resistance, which is also going to be really interesting because there's no other watches in the luxury watch industry that I know that use Cerakote, and especially to the colors and the quality that we do on ours. And so that would be really interesting to see. But yeah, you're right. Look, you drop a sapphire piece onto very hard, you know, material like cement, concrete. There may be issues. I even talked to Hublot a while back when I was looking at the sapphire pieces, and that was the first thing that went through my head. I was like, why am I going to buy this? I'm going to drop it. It's going to break. And you know, I always ask them. I say, oh, have you had many sapphire returns or any sapphire breaks? And very rarely. Not maybe they're trained not to tell me, right? But I create pretty good relationships with some of these ADs, right? And I feel like they would share. In fact, I know there's an AD in Adelaide actually. You know Michael. And he's got a couple of Hublots, sapphire, and. I mean, for someone like him to purchase or get those pieces, it says a lot. He's a really really quite high level collector as well. Actually, funny thing is, I went in with the sapphire, and he was blown away by the sapphire. And he said, "Look, same, no different to the Hublot that he had, same." And so. Yeah, so back to the question, you drop a sapphire, within reason, we will do what we can to help. You buy a Porsche or Lamborghini, you crash it into a tree, poor, you know, it's hard. But that, with that being said, I have dropped it on carpet and things, and no issue, no problem, you know. And this is not the, actually in the first prototypes, I'll tell you what was stressing me out a lot. And so I had a quick release on there. And the quick release in the early prototypes of the sapphire, the quick release came off, and I smashed it onto the table, and I was like, "Holy shit, this is not good. I have to go back to the drawing board." So I had a few. I have dropped it a few times, especially with So the reason why I took the quick release off for the production version is because it on the silicon strap, it just wasn't feasible. It had to be hard plastic for that part, And because of the angle that the strap needs to bend to go around the wrist, it was very uncomfortable to wear. And I mean, you tried the silicon sapphire yourself, and that is, it's like, it's a dream. Even the titanium versions is amazing.
The silicon straps are really good. You know, awesome quality. They feel really comfortable. And because it's quite a big watch, it's obviously a big watch. It's 55 mil lug to lug, I think, and 48 mil. The stats are on the internet, people can go have a look, but it is a big watch. But what I did notice about it was it's quite well weighted, and it doesn't feel like it's not going to topple over on your wrist or anything like that. And even though, you know, it's not super thick, but it is thick. They're not a super slim watch. You know, the balance on the wrist is quite good, and you're not going to fall up, you know, it's not going to fall over. But well, I was just going to say, it's about the, you know, like if you're a person that's kind of rough with your watches and wears a G-Shock and does really active things all the time and works in an active environment, then, you know, if you buy a ceramic watch or a sapphire watch, chances are if you smash your watches up that you've currently got, that they're steel, then you're going to probably do some damage. But if you're careful and you look after your watches, then you're going to be fine.
Well, I think everyday wear and tear for the sapphire isn't really an issue. But yeah, I don't know. I haven't met anyone with a banged up steel that, I mean, you'd have to be, I mean, I'm sure there are people out there that really bang. I don't think that's the norm though. No. Scratches, don't, no worries about that. Absolutely. No issues there, which is fantastic.
It's good. So I want to talk a little bit about the community. And so what from your mind, looking, I'm sure you look out for the Instagram page and checking, as you said, comments on YouTube, etc. How has the response been from the community so far, or from an enthusiast perspective?
Mixed. Yeah. It's either you are obsessed and love it, or you hate us. But I think the hate is a lot less. It depends who's posting as well. Like Swiss Watch Gang, Marco, he posts, he talks about it, he reviews it, and like hardly any negative feedback at all. Like all really, really solid and good.
But he's very good.
Yeah, yeah. You get Watchfinder, and you know there are people that, you know, it's almost as if someone from the team has murdered one of their family members. That's how offended they are, you know? And it's like, there's like social, I call them like the social justice watch warriors or something like that, you know? SJWW. Wow. These guys are so uninformed, so lack a lot of intelligence. And they, honestly, they think that they know it all. You know, maybe they know a few specs and stats, and they know a few, you know, micro brands that are doing well. But when you look at it in reality and what's practical, I sent it to Marco. I said, Marco, man, I'm so stressed about this video because, you know, we did our best, and it's not, you know, my personal opinion, I loved it. I thought, well, look, you know, fantastic. Look, the only thing, when I say that Watchfinder video, the only thing that the people are reacting to is maybe a few, you know, inconsistencies with the movement. That's it. What Andrew says in the video is phenomenal. I couldn't have been more happier. And the fact is that we didn't say anything to him. We didn't tell him what to say at all. And he came to that conclusion. If anyone, you know, wants to know what we're talking about, watch the video and you see what I mean. Because it's incredible. But back to your question about monitoring and the hate and love. Well, most people that we find, when you see it in the, you know, day to day, face to face, one to one, you see the watch, you're blown away. Like, it's like nothing that you've seen before, nothing like it. On the videos, on the reviews, because we're getting a lot of coverage, a lot of exposure, people are skeptical and they feel that we're just paying for a lot of reviews out there, which we're not. We have people coming out, reaching out to us, like yourself, asking us just to have a chat or just to have a review, just to have a look. And we're like, we haven't turned down anyone. And that's why there's so much content out there on us in such a short amount of time, is because we say yes to everyone. The hardest critics, we're like, yeah, sweet, sure, we'll send you a watch. A lot of people tell us, you know, they warn us, they say, look, I'm going to be honest. Are you okay with that? And we're like, yeah, sure. Why not? Because at the end of the day, we have nothing to hide. And that's what bugs these haters. I think that's what gets them. They're trying to find something on us. Oh, it's a shitty Chinese movement. Yes. But we've improved it. We're doing our best to look after any issues. We'll look after people. Got a warranty on it. And by the way, your phone is made in China too. So
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think, you know, yes, it's a Chinese movement, but so what in this day and age? And have a look at the price tag and look at sort of what you're getting. I mean, I understand it. I get it. And to me, it makes sense. And I think more should be said about what you're actually bringing value to the community and the enthusiast that can have, pardon the pun with the word Avanti, but you can have these things, you know, because 6 months ago before you guys came out, it was really hard to get, you know, maybe you can get a Chinese tourbillon, but it's probably not going to have the same quality, the same improvements in the same sort of out there cases that are just really good. So what do you need from the community? What do you want from the community?
I want some support, mate, on these comments. I'm like staying up to 3 a.m. defending myself. But no, jokes aside, I think it's important, and why I'm really passionate about chatting with you is mainly because I want to show my side of the story, and I want people who, you know, people who research the brand and really get into it to really understand that, we're human. Yeah, maybe we'll mess up on stuff, but I'm here with the team. We're setting the processes and systems in place to make sure that everything is looked after. Everything is for the people, you know. And that's the thing about I'll be candid with you now as well. I mean, not that I haven't been, but I'll tell you some stuff that, and this is for the people listening who really want to get deeper into the watch manufacturing. And I'm happy to talk about any. I think that's the difference. I will tell you who's making our watches. I will tell you who we're partnering with. I will tell you where our hands are from. I will tell you where our cases are from. I will tell you everything about it, because I'm not charging a 10x margin, a 15x, a 20x margin on what we get the goods for, unlike most other brands, right? And that's why they can't do it, because they'll be stressed. Ryan was in a factory in Switzerland that produced around 80% of Richard Mille's movements. We were looking at RM's movements. We were getting offered the same thing at a fraction of the price. Now, legal reasons, RM is a big boy. I'm too small to take on any bullies right now. So, I mean, anyone feel free to message me, and I'll share some opinions and thoughts and ideas on those facts. But yeah, as far as, you know, our conversation here is concerned, that's probably, you know, enough to discuss on that point. But I mean, the other point to make with what we're doing, I had a call, a Skype meeting, a Google Meets meeting, or hanging out, I don't know what they're called anymore, Hangouts, Meet, whatever it is, Zoom, with one of our potential Swiss partners. And this, I don't know, do you want to chat about the future of Avanti? Is that cool?
Absolutely. Well, that was my next question was, what can we look forward to in the future? So let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, I was chatting to a manufacturer in Switzerland. Now, I don't know, and this is the funny thing, is a lot of these keyboard SJWWs, what they don't know, I think, is just who's making for these Swiss brands. And that's a really interesting topic in itself, and that you should, I don't know if you've already covered but
partly covered some of that, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that for me, when I was getting into it, I was really, really excited, because, you know, we're rubbing shoulders with giants. We're talking to these guys, and they're listening to us. In fact, I'll tell you a funny story about that in a sec. But basically, we're meeting with these partners, and I had a call, and I was on the phone to him, and we were talking about all these things. And I said, look, straight up front, I said, listen, I don't want to be messed around with pricing, with order quantities, with all this other BS that you guys do. I don't care if you. You know, and they say, oh, Far East, you know, we can make in the Far East and all this. And I'm like, listen, I'm not going to be paying some middleman in the Far East to vet the stuff for you to get as well. And you guys are getting ripped off from the Far East anyway. you know, we have warehouses, we've got partners, we've got people in the Far East, mate. So don't worry about that. I need to know if we get what we can do together. So I'm very hard. Like, I'm a hard ass. I've got a lot of enemies in Switzerland. And I will have more. So that whole pro, you know, Asia, Far East thing, it's not, we're not against, and this is what I said earlier in this this chat today. I'm not against, you know, Far East, China, Hong Kong, whatever you want to call it. I'm not against Switzerland. I'm not saying, oh, Swiss are the bullies. They've been, you know, screwing people over for years. No, we're going to go Far East, pro Far East, pro Japan, pro whatever. It doesn't value. It doesn't matter. Sorry, it's all about the value. That's what I'm trying to say here, right? So I'm there. I'm busting their balls, man. I had one. This is a funny story. I had one guy, one group. They reached out to us. Ryan set it up. Ryan's like, look, these guys are bugging me. They really want to work with us. Have a call. Have a chat with them. See what they can do. Mate, it was so funny because Swiss watchmakers, they are so arrogant, man. It is next level. I see them as like the Silicon Valley top coders, like that, that air of importance that you can't say anything that would offend them. No, no, no.
Yeah.
And so I got to a stage where this guy was coming to me. He said, in the end, like I was saying, look, can we do it like this? Can we do it like this? Because I'm always looking. I mentioned my systems and processes in business. So my approach in business is all about what is the goal? What are the key metrics that we need to monitor to achieve the goal? What are the restrictions that are in place? And what other way that we can achieve the goal? Because a lot of people don't think about the goal. They think about the task. They say, we need to make a movement, right? Why do we need to make a movement? What is the goal behind this movement, right? I mean, I can elaborate on that in a second, but that's not the point. What the point is, when I talk to these guys in Switzerland, on, you know, we're on the WhatsApp and we're sending chats back and forth, and we're making some progress. Then they drop a bomb with MOQs and prices, volume pricing, and I was laughing. I was like, mate, you are dreaming. They basically wanted $1 million with the MOQs that they wanted to do it. They essentially look at us as like the Willy Wonka golden ticket. They're going, well, these guys are blowing up. They're getting massive. You know, they're massive. You know, they'll have great volume. We're gonna milk them and make all this money from them, right? And I'm sitting there going, mate, you are dreaming. And I said, why don't we try this? Can we do? I can get the plates and the hands and the dials sorted out. Can you assemble this in Switzerland? Can we do part assembly of, you know, outside of Switzerland? Like, I look at the problem in many different ways, different options. You know, one example is this. Okay, say you want to produce a movement in, you know, in Switzerland. They say, look, it's not worth for us to do it unless we produce 1,000 main plates, for example, right? And I think, well, I mean, you know, what other parts are involved? Can I produce the main plates at a lower quantity of, you know, outside of Switzerland? And can we set up QC to measure and check that all the main plates are done perfectly? What is the tolerance that we need? Like, I was asking questions that they're not used to answering, right? I'm asking them from a manufacturer's perspective, not a customer perspective, right? And so this guy was, you know, I kept busting their balls so hard that it got to a point where they were so pissed off with me, right? That the watch manufacturer, this is word for word. This is what he said. I mean, I got the text on. I probably can't say word for word. But this is, you know, from my memory, this is what he said. He said, you know, and I said, look, we're the only one that's doing marketing like this. We can grow. We can get, you know, we can create an amazing brand. Let's find a way to work together. I'm like super positive, optimistic. I'm like, let's go, go, go. Let's do this. Let's find a solution. And he said, you are certainly not the only one who is doing this kind of marketing, but you are certainly the only one who has no idea of a budget. Thank you and goodbye, or something like that. And he bloody kicked me out of the group.
Oh,
and I was like, are you kidding? You come to me. You came to us, right? Ask you to work with us. You know, it's like, I was like so confused. I'm like, well, you're obviously coming to us because the Swiss industry is not asking you guys for more designs and work. And this guy's, you know, this guy's accomplished. He's done some crazy pieces for big brands, you know. And so he's got the arrogance and ego to go with. But anyway, the point that I'm mentioning is that, you know, when I go to Swiss partners, my litmus test is a series of questions and a level of intensity that I bring to the conversation, right? And it just shows their colors straight away. It shows, are they gonna help and work with us, or are they gonna, you know, be proud and stick to their guns, you know? And so I had a call.
I can certainly feel that level of intense. That level of intense is high. That is awesome.
Yeah. Oh, it's fun. It's funny. Like, it's either gonna go really well or really bad, but either way there's a story, right? So
yeah.
And this is what this is all about the story. Like all of this. And you know, at the end of the day, that's what a watch is. You don't wear a watch to tell the time. No. So anyway, no.
So the future, so going to Swiss, so what's coming?
Yeah, well back to this. I was sitting with the manufacturer on Skype, of course, but we're chatting and I tell him, I break it down and that's my test. He passed the test. He's like, okay, good. We're good. We're good to work on something. Right. And then, the conversation goes from different pieces, different concepts to different things. And then we talk about the quantities and then we talk about how we can reduce the cost significantly. And I said to him, I said, look, we make, you know, maximum 2x return on what we put in on making the watches. That's kind of 1.5 on some pieces, 2x. I don't know if we can get up to 3x, but these are the things like I'm transparent and honest about. I don't know, a lot of people wouldn't want to talk about these things, but I need to tell them, right? So they know we're not busting their balls for no reason. Put yourself in their shoes now, right? You've got Hublot, RM or whatever, coming to them and going, hey, we want, you know, a movement for this piece. This is the concept. Make it up. Quote it out. They quote it out $X,000 and Hublot's or whoever's like, nah, that's too much. You need to make it cheaper. They're like, okay, let's see what we can do. Busting, balls busting. And then they eventually agree to a price, right?
Yep.
Can you imagine the resentment from their side going, we're making it for this, like, you know, 5K movement or whatever, and that we're going to sell it, or 10K movement, they're going to sell it for 100K with a case and a dollar and all. So, and when we come there and say, listen, mate, you help us get a lower price, you find creative ways to cut the costs, right? And we will match that. We will keep a, you know, we'll keep that small margin on there because we want to bring this to more people, you know?
Yeah.
And volume in Switzerland are two things that are very unheard of, right? And so that's our game. That's why we can do what we do, because we're working with them to potentially have bigger volumes than they've received, you know? Because all the big volume Swiss houses are in-house, right?
Yeah.
They're all in-house. And all these independents, no, they produce 50 pieces here, 100 pieces there. So anything above that is fantastic for them, right? So coming to this, I discussed with you some of the innovations that we're working on. So everyone that's listening, you've heard that, okay, we work with titanium, which is cool. We work with Cerakote, which is new. The burnt titanium, that's something that I'll quickly discuss now because it's relevant. Burnt titanium, I showed you the burnt titanium. What did you notice about it? What did you see? What is impression?
Kind of changes color and does, you know, it's really, you know, it's light because it's titanium, but yeah, it's, you can see that it's been had some sort of treatment to it. It doesn't look like normal titanium.
Each piece is piece unique. It's like a fingerprint, just like its owner, right? And that's the concept. The burnt titanium, all the power of a supercar, all that, like that B12, all that power that is, you know, that is generated in the engine has only one place to go. That's through the exhaust. That's why it's so specific and so special to our brand. That's why this is almost like a flagship product for us, for the titanium series. And why I'm mentioning that is because we have done it in a way that no other brand does it. Everyone does it in electrolysis or some other plating method to create that effect of burnt titanium. No one does it actually burning titanium, right? Heating it up. we failed. So, honestly, we failed so many times. And I was going to pull the pin. We had pre-sold through our Indiegogo for anyone who's like really super early backer of ours. And I was almost going to pull the pin. You know, I kept cases aside. And that's our whole campaign that's coming out soon is I kept cases aside for an allocation, a very limited run of it, right? And in the hope that, okay, either we're going to use it on the burnt titanium or we'll just put Cerakote and you know, assign it to some other people for the colored version. And so the point is, the reason why no one can make burnt titanium watches is because no one is using Cerakote. in the way that we use it. So we developed a clear Cerakote that was good enough to cover the titanium, the burnt titanium, because it's just the top layers that are burnt that create that effect, that color changing, from blues to purples to greens to orange. Like it's got like everything in there, right? And because when you put the Cerakote on there, it stops the scratch resistance. And I've got a video of our guys who put it on in Hong Kong, scratching it with a coin on one side that wasn't Cerakoted, on the other side that was Cerakoted, and it doesn't scratch. So I thought, I was stressed out because we finally perfected the coating of it to make the color right and the consistency good, but still piece unique. So because of the unpredictable nature of a flame, you can't control how intense the heat is overall the whole case, right? So some parts of the case are heated up hotter than others, and that's what causes the color, you know, difference in it. Just like a real exhaust pipe, it's not consistent, right? So we put the Cerakote in it and it works. So why I'm mentioning this, why it's important, is because everything that we do is all about unique materials, right? That's one of the core principles of it. Our Aventi is, you know, crazy, crazy cool design, and movement and all that, insane materials, and it's hard to get. It's hard to get by the nature of the allocation and the concierge. It's by nature hard to get. It's not like we're going, oh, you can't get this, Borat style. But the where we're going with the Swiss is we're going Swiss. I mean, that's a significant thing to say. So the two problems with that. One is I've been asked by everyone and the team, like, how are you going to guarantee that the Hong Kong versions don't lose value? That's a really easy answer to answer. And the second is, how are you going to keep the affordability of the brand, like the value of the brand? The first question is pretty straightforward. Our brand is nowhere near as popular as it will be in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years from now. So anyone who has one of these Cerakote versions now is going to be laughing in the future, because you're talking a fraction, absolute fraction of the pieces that will be created, like a tiny fragment. Imagine having, one of those discontinued Rolexes right now. That's the way I look at it, and going, well, look, yeah, but it is absolutely, this is an iconic piece to have from, our brand, in our brand legacy that we create this. So for sure, like, I have no doubt. And in fact, if someone's selling it, I'll buy it back. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care. I'll store them. That's fine. I wouldn't be the first company to buy back pieces anyway.
No, but, certainly not.
Exactly. Yeah. But I won't destroy them. That's the difference. Anyway, we don't have to talk about that. I think what I'm talking about. The second thing is the second part is affordability, the value. I mean, I think I've explained kind of how we go about. We bust the balls of people that we work with, but we share in the rewards. That's the model. And a lot of people don't do that. And that's what I was talking about to these guys in Switzerland, because that was my first meeting with them. I told them, I said, listen, I want to have this call as if all of the customers, all of the people, all of our fans, all of our people in the brand are listening to us have this conversation with you. And then I said to him, I said, listen, tell me one of your clients that would agree with that same statement that I just said.
Yeah.
No one.
It wouldn't happen.
No, absolutely no one. It would never happen. Never. You know? So that's one of the cool things about, and that's why they're willing to do a lot for us, because they see the passion, they see what we're trying to do. They really they really believe in us. And in fact, this guy, he was like, you will not fail. It's impossible. I was like, yeah, that's right. We will not fail. In his like Swiss accent. I was like, yeah. So, I mean, look, and let me reveal some of the stuff that we're doing. Is that what you're going to ask?
Please do. No, I was just going to ask about case sizing, but
ahead. Okay, exactly. So 43. Why? So it's approximately, I think it was 20 something percent smaller than the current one, which is universally perfect for this. It still maintains the statement piece size, becomes appropriate for even the smallest wrists, right? And even people with big wrists, it still has that presence. So I'm not a very big wrist, right? I have a small wrist, but and it's still, I love it. I love this current size, but I can see when we go, when we want to appeal to way more people, especially women as well, right? Because we've had like little old Thai ladies call up, like grandmas call us up, you know. It's Ryan's telling me this story. She's like this little old lady in Thailand. She's a grandma. She loves a venti. She wants to buy it. We say, look, you know, no, honestly, probably not going to fit, you know. And we're honest like that. We're not going to try to sell something, to, you know. We're not going to be like, yeah, yeah, she'd be right, mate. Like, we're honest, you know. And at the end of the day, I think a nana in Thailand will love this size. And so that's the first thing. The second thing about this case is absolutely phenomenal is that it is going to be made out of one of the rarest materials in watchmaking at the moment. Like, no, a very, very, very few companies use this. It's graphene. And graphene is known for its incredible conductivity. It's seen as a huge potential in the battery market, like the power industry. But it has incredible properties that's currently being used in the aerospace industry, right? I think the Airbus uses graphene. I think it was the Airbus. I'll have to confirm it. Sorry, I don't have the exact spec. But our partners making this case are Singapore based, right? And we've been talking to them. We're moving forward, and we're testing different prototypes now for a Swiss movement. I'll talk about the Swiss movement in a moment, but the case is insane because we are doing. If anyone who knows RM, they know about NTPT QTPT, which is their graphene, their technology on how they are layering the material, the fibers, in a certain way to create a stronger, lighter structure. And that is the technology that we will use, something similar to that, if not the same, effectively, right? I will share more information on that later as we get closer with the technology, but incredibly, incredibly, incredibly light, incredibly strong. So now in the planes, in the aerospace industry, what they do is the in the wing, the part that takes the most force from the air, the outside, everything is centered and concentrated on this part that's made out of graphene. That's how strong graphene is, right? So you're essentially wearing the most lightest, strongest, one of the most strongest materials ever created. That's used. That is practically used in a very, very, very severe condition. And that's going to be in your ears. And I've been talking to the partners, and he is so excited to get the watch when it's done. Like, he's so excited. He's like, I just want to wear it. I just want to wear it. And some of the other stakeholders in that company are they're ready. They're ready to sign up and buy because it's absolutely incredible. RM, the McLaren uses the graphene. And so you guys can look at the price of that. So anyway, now to the movement. Yeah, it's crazy. Now to the movement. Movement is absolutely insane. And this is the I've been waiting to tell this story for ages. And I told you, and this is the best part. So this is so such luck, and it's almost serendipitous of who is making our movement. And I will give, you know, we're going to create a video, and we're going to talk about it in our Instagram live. In our Instagram, every Friday we go live on Instagram. Yep. And we're really open with our communication. And that's like just a conversation like this. But I'll bring this about, and I'll share more details. But, you know, we're talking a lot. I'm talking a lot here. But I want to get this across. But basically, the guy. Our watchmaker that we've partnered with Switzerland. This was ridiculous. When I found out this, I almost cried because this is ridiculous. So basically, I was talking to him, and you know, we've been talking about the custom movement, and he's developed base movement. And I said, oh, can we do this? Can we do that? Okay, let's do this. You know, these are the specs. It's, you know, 5,000 G shock resistant, tourbillon, Swiss made, right? 105 hours reserve. This is a beast of a tourbillon movement. 100% Swiss made. Finishing is fantastic. And what we're doing is we are customizing it to what we want to look incredible in our case. So the Tourbillon part will be at the 6 o'clock position. It will be completely skeletonized. It will be titanium bridges and plates there. And I'm working on something insane, titanium hands for it, Swiss finished hands. So this is going to be absolute, and that's inside the graphene case. So back to the movement partner, our watchmaker in Switzerland. He told me a story. So he told me where he studied. He went to Germany. He did some internships there, and then he had his first job for AP, right? In AP. So he actually worked in AP. And do you know what his job was? His first job, what he worked on? Oh. He worked on the very first Richard Mille. So here we go. Full circle, mate. So there you go. And that is that's our watchmaker in Switzerland. So he's an incredible guy. He's a guy I have to be careful. I can't bust his balls too much, man. I don't want to lose him. So I'm careful with him. Actually, it's funny because we have another guy we deal with through him, so because he's quite busy as well. But anyway, what's really interesting about him is that he worked for Sellita as well. So after AP, he moved to Sellita. And the reason why he moved to Sellita, he was sick of how, you know, this high level of watchmaking was so, I suppose, ineffective, you know. So many hours wasted, so many issues and so many problem-solving things. That it was very manual, so he told me. And we're going to have an interview with him and make a video with him so we can share all of this in detail, you know, exactly the story, because I'm just, you know, paraphrasing, just going from my memory. And basically he told me this from my memory. He told me that, you know, he's like, you know, working for AP is amazing, but it's so inefficient. You know, the screws have to all be hand done. There's all these issues with that because it's inconsistent, right? And can you imagine assembling something that's so complex and having, you know, human error involved? It's just ridiculous. So he's like, sick of this. I want to work with, you know, ETA or Sellita or something. And from memory, I think he started working with Sellita. And from there, he learned how to systemize things, how to make things effective, how to do things in a way that minimizes cost, for example, right? And so I was like, man, this is a perfect guy for us. So his whole concept is about making a movement that is easy to service, that anyone can service, right? And it has a low chance of error. And that's what our Tourbillon is, a workhorse. It is a Tourbillon movement that will be reliable, you know? And it's Swiss made. And that's the most exciting thing about Aventi that's coming up. And I can't wait, because all of this in a movement, and I asked you about this.
Yeah.
There is something that I'm developing at the moment for the strap. I don't really want to say. I told you in person. Until I confirm we're producing it, then I'll release the information. But the strap is something that the band is something that has never been done in watchmaking world. And I think anyone who nerds out on pens and watches and cars will certainly appreciate the band that's going on here, right? So I mean, you guessed the price. I said, okay, guess the price. Guess what price we're coming to market on. What did you guess for that? So we're talking graphene case, titanium movement, Swiss made, titanium hands, Tourbillon, solid stats, crazy band, crazy watch band.
I think because knowing the way that your business works, I kind of downplayed it myself, and I sort of thought maybe 40,000 or 50,000 euros, something like that, maybe more, maybe a tiny bit less.
And so with that, I replied between $8,000 to $10,000. That's my goal. Whether, you know, there may be some unforeseen costs that come up, but the end price will reflect that only. So I doubt it will go up much more from that point. But that that's my goal, is to bring something out that people go, I need it, probably can't afford it, but I'll probably get it anyway, see the price and go, what the hell? Take my money. That's it. I need that. And, you know, from telling you and telling other people about this product, I just want to wear it. You know, I need it. I want to wear it right now, right? And so that's kind of the model that we have. It's like, if I'm going to wear it, then it probably we should make it. And if we can make it a fraction of what it would normally cost, then it should, you know, it should work. Other people should want it too. So,
yeah. And just to, I mean, it's amazing. And I'm sitting here, and I'm sure a lot of people sitting here just going, holy fuck. Like, it's really hard to, I mean, you do such a great job putting all that into words, but I think, you know, for people that are into watches, listening to the stuff that is that you've already got out and, you know, that are coming now and coming into next year, it's just mind blowing. And, you know, wish you all success. I'm sure that I'm going to be a customer, because, you know, it just excites me as much as, well, probably not as much as it excites you, but it does excite me. And I'm sure people listening, it's going to excite them as well. And just to put this into perspective, so you as a collector, from before Aventi, you're into Rolex, you're into AP, you're into Panerai, those kinds of brands, Trikin, right?
I have Trikin. Constantine. So I'm looking at my other Panerai that's on the desk. I've got the Bronzo out there, which is awesome. And then I've got some like other heavy hitter pieces. But yeah, I mean, we in the beginning of this chat, I mentioned that I wanted to create a watch that I would want to wear. And if I'm wearing a Platinum Daytona, it's going to be hard to compete with, right? On that level. So that's the way I look at it. With these watches, is like, is this, what watch would I want to wear? And I was wearing the yellow sapphire like way more than all of my other pieces, just because it's incredible, you know, and not only because of how it looks, but I mean, from a standpoint, you don't wear those heavy hitter pieces for the masses, you know. You're wearing it, you know, you're wearing it because you enjoy it. It's like you buy a Porsche. You could buy a Lamborghini, you could buy a Ferrari, but you buy a Porsche, right? It's the same thing. It's a respect. There's value. There's history. There's a lot of this in it. And the way I see Aventi is I see it becoming, if not already is that at that level. The thing is, because we have that formula of incredible value and transparency, the reason why it works, and this is the reason I think, and this is the difference between Aventi and Seven Friday. Great brand, came out of nowhere. I thought they were stupid expensive when I first saw them on Instagram. They did really well on Instagram. This is early days. Yeah. I think you remember.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
early days, they were everywhere. I was like, holy crap, that's going to be like 50K or something. Looked at it, super cheap, like 2K. I was like, wow, Japanese. And I actually, then, I don't know if allegedly, blah, 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 legal. I heard someone told me they were made in China. And yet they communicate on their website, their social, everything that of their Swiss office, which is true. I mean, you can Google it. They are made in China, as far as I'm aware from the research that I've done. But they communicate as a Swiss brand, which is really interesting, right? Japanese movement. They did it really well. Like, you know, if you'd asked most people, they'd probably said it's Swiss watch brand as well, just like a small watch brand, collector pieces, all of that. Great brand, nothing bad to say about them. But now you look at them and you see them everywhere in every retailer, and you see them 30, 40, 50% off. This is the reason why the value angle works for us, is because there will always be a greater demand than there is a supply. And the time to get an Aventi, we have so many allocations that are assigned. We're not producing in crazy volumes. Like for every Aventi that you see, you'd be lucky to see 1,000 or more Rolexes, right? So for every 1,000 Rolexes or so that you see, you'd see one Aventi, if that, you know. That's how, you know, scarce Aventi is, which helps us with the value proposition, because even though basically anyone into watches can have an Aventi, you know, there is still a process to get an Aventi. And that, I think that's the winning formula with what we're doing when it comes to resale value. Because that's the biggest thing, I think, with the audience here listening, is, okay, that's cool, fun, nice. I'm going to spend $2,000 or $10,000 or $15,000 one day or whatever on Aventi's crazy pieces. By the way, I think I mentioned that. I mean, everyone can look up. Just if you're curious, everyone can message me. I reply to everything. Just at Hanu Suren on Instagram, you can add me. But yeah, we're creating the candy shop, and that is a phenomenal piece. And that's our highest priced piece at 45,000 Swiss francs. We're looking at, you know, you can say, wow, 45K from 2K. That's ridiculous. How can you guys even consider charging so much for a watch? You're just stinging us now because you built a brand following and blah, blah, blah. But when you listen to the specs of that watch, you're going to be paying 400K at any other brand for what we're, you know, giving. And that's not over exaggerating. It's incredibly, valuable.
Well, it sounds like there are some really exciting things coming.
For days, mate. So
now, look, I think we will wrap it up there. But mate, you have absolutely brought, and I'm even, you know, I met you the other day, and I, you know, this passion is what I wanted to sort of discover and see, because I think it's one of the most important things for the community and enthusiasts to know that the people behind products are enthusiasts themselves as well, and not just trying to create money-making machines. And you know, there's a lot of brands out there that have got people working for them that have no idea or don't even care. It's just bottom line. And I can see that that's not the case here at Aventi.
One point on that. I know you're going to shut me up in a second, but the turning point on that statement that you just mentioned, and this really speaks volumes about us, is that and this is Ryan, you anyone who researches our brand, you'll come across Ryan. He's like one of my best mates, and he's been helping us out with the partnerships and communication and just talking to people and all that, getting out there. And you know, when we started Aventi, he didn't really believe in Aventi. He was helping with S-Force, but he didn't really think it was the right idea to be transparent and honest about things, and not in a bad way. I mean, he was just like, oh, you can't say it's from Hong Kong, man. Like, you can't do that. That kind of, you know, way. I don't mean to say he's a bad, he's an absolute legend. When he came to me, so I gifted him one of my pieces. I gifted him a root beer steel two-tone, to say thank you for all of his help that he did. Because he really helped a lot with Aventi, and you know, he put a lot of effort and energy into it, and he was stoked about that because he loves Rolex. Like, you know, before we started Aventi, he was just going on about how he wants the Blue Sky Dweller, he wants this, he wants the Pepsi, and he's a guy, even at the beginning of Aventi, he's just trying to hustle deals with Rolex ADs. He's like, I'll look after you with Aventi if you sort me out, put me on the list for the Sky Dweller. And so he came to me, this was a few weeks ago, it was probably a few months ago, and he said, look, man, my Grail watch is a, you know, the Swiss Aventi with a blue sapphire. I that is my Grail. And when he said that to me, I was like, we've done it. We've made it. Because for someone who works in a brand to dream and have and say to you, this is my Grail, I want this, is so special. And it shows that it's not about us flipping, I've mentioned like a couple of watches on this, you know, chat now, and it's not like I'm flipping these watches to get one of those, right? I definitely collect watches and I will buy other brands. I'm totally transparent and honest about that. And that was a big thing I made in the beginning. I'm like, I don't want to be the Aventi guy that only wears Aventi because I love watches, right? But it just goes to show that we wear our own pieces as well. And in fact, we have Grails in our own brand. And so I think that resonates. But anyway, I think you get my point. So
look, I get your point. I get it loud and clear. And you know, just finally here from me is a big well done. You know, regardless of the future, I'm sure that things are going to be fantastic, and the products that are going to come are going to be amazing. But even still, like, it's just amazing that you've gone out, you've given it a go, and you're making it work, you're living and breathing it, you bring a passion and enthusiasm that we don't often see, And so, you know, from me to you, you know, just well done. And thank you for sharing what you've shared with us today, because I think listeners are going to, you know, be researching and looking it up for themselves and trying to get their hands on some of these things, because they're amazing. So well done, mate. Well done.
Thank you. Because this is the first, this is the first podcast and the first kind of interview like this that I've ever done. And I'm sorry if I rambled on a bit, but I get a bit excited about this stuff. But I really appreciate you and also the community. I think I'm more than happy to talk to anyone individually. If anyone has any, you know, questions or comments or concerns or any tips or advice, I also mentioned to you, I would love to either create a Slack community or a group where I can propose ideas and get real feedback from people before we even start developing things. I would love to hear what, because I know that your audience has people that are way more knowledgeable about watches than me, and I'm happy to admit that. Yeah. And I, you know, instead of me pretending someone who I'm not, and you know, I'm creating all these amazing things, I would rather someone go to me, you know what, that's a shit idea, this would be better, and this is why. And you know, for me to go, okay, I'll make that happen. Let's see what we can do. So, I mean, if there's an opportunity to create a channel like that, or if people are interested to message me, I think that would be fantastic. But other than that,
That's cool.
I had a blast today, and I really respect you and what you've done and what you guys are achieving as well. Because, you mentioned this before, is that we're almost really similar. We're disrupting the watch industry. Yeah. People are sick of hearing paid reviews, paid for and one-sided stories and videos that only speak about one thing, or communities that are just flat out like lying, hoodinky, trouble clock, something's wrong with my mic, man. But yeah, I mean, it's just at that stage where you guys are coming in and smashing it, because you're real, you know, and that's what people want. People don't want to be, you know, sold to. They just want to make their own minds up about stuff, right?
Yeah. So. Cool. So if you look, thank you for that. And it's exactly what we're trying to do. We're not trying to, we're just trying to give the community the opportunity to hear the truth about things. And I suppose it's another thing for you to be commended on, is just being so open, transparent, and so honest, and having that as part of your business model. It's not really heard of, you know, it's new, it's different. It's just polarizing in some ways, because it can be quite confronting. Because people can be looking at the wrist going, in-house, Swiss, and that's why I love Moser so much, because they just do the most outrageous stuff.
Yeah.
Take Swiss made off the dial, you know, because they don't need it there. The customers know what is in their product. But anyway, look, we'll leave it there. So for people that want to get in touch with Hanusa Rin on Instagram, or, you know, message the guys at Aventi, but also, you know, looking for maybe a Slack group of people and enthusiasts from all over the world that want to just get involved with something that they can talk about and get passionate about. So very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Awesome.
All right. We'll leave it there. My pleasure, man. Thank you very much for coming on to the show. For everyone else, please check out the website, fifthwrist.com. Go and review one of your watches. Be honest about it. Tell us the things that you love. Tell us the things you don't like, because it might help someone else make a decision. All right, thanks, guys. Have a lovely day. Hanu, enjoy your travels. And for everyone else, stay on time.
Fifth Wrist is by the community, for the community. We would love you to join the crew via our group chat on Slack. Email us at contact@fifthwrist.com and join the movement.